Hibernation Sports Talk up rolling on a Tuesday. Glad to have you with us on the show today. If you're watching live right now, you can see that there's, probably a familiar face to at least, you know, like if you're watching other IB shows, including the one that just ran for almost 3 hours this afternoon, as well as the IB postgame show as well. A special guest host sitting in today, Trevor Trowbridge. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on here. Had to do a little wardrobe change from the last show. It was getting a little chilly in here, but we're still repping Notre Dame, so not to worry.
Nice.
But thank you for having me on here.
I like that kind of Carolina blue look that you've got with the Notre Dame pullover there. I don't think I've seen that anywhere. Where'd you find that?
It was online at the bookstore. So they dropped this coaching line, and it was a golf quarter zip, and I golf a lot, not well, but I do it. And, so figured might as well look the part while
I'm out. Every golfer ever, right?
Right. So I thought I might as well look the part and be a little comfy while I'm out on the course. So,
well, in addition to Trevor, we've got a special guest who's going to be popping in just a little bit. Len Clark is going to join us. He's got a book out, a Notre Dame related book that he's going to talk about. He's got a couple of book signings coming up later this week ahead of the Louisville game. So Len will tell you all about his book and where you can find it and all that kind of good stuff. But before I forget, we had a super chat come in yesterday. Literally, I hit the end button on the show, and as soon as it ended, the super chat popped in. It was from Joe. Thank you for the super chat, Joe. And Joe said, okay, so I go off the handle on social media at times, but I actually did see progression with Leonard last week. I'm just passionate. Go Irish. So, all right. Someone at least admitted to seeing some progression from Riley Leonard. I'm going to be quite honest. Things didn't get up as stirred up in the show yesterday as I thought they were going to be. So maybe Riley Leonard won more than just Joe over, at least for a week anyway, or at least for a half anyway.
Things are starting to turn around for our boy Riley, taking steps in the right direction. And I know Brian just put out a good like passing game breakdown from last week that I think put a lot of people's minds at ease, at least for now.
I haven't read that yet. I did see the headline today as I was working on some other stuff, so I do need to jump in there and check some of that out. Okay, before we get into some nuts and bolts Notre Dame stuff, before Len Clark comes on, Trevor, like we officially met maybe, what, 12 minutes ago?
Something like that. I would say so. That's fair.
Yeah. So we need to do a little bit of speed dating before we get into this. Here, so I'm going to throw a few things at you as we get in, before, like I said, we jump feet first into the Notre Dame talk. Besides Notre Dame, what's your favorite team?
Favorite team any sport. I'm probably going to have to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. My wife is from Cincinnati.
Okay.
And so where I grew up in Elkhart, It was a little weird because you had Colts fans, you had Bears fans. I guess you had some Lions fans, but when I was growing up, the Lions were not good. They were not the Lions of today. So
correct.
I wasn't that into the NFL. I watched it because I love football, but now kind of by association, I would say the Bengals because it's the wife's team. So
rough one last night. Yeah. Like, is Jaden Daniels really going to be that good? Is Joe Burrows, has he officially backslid to where they are right now? There's so many different directions to go with that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, when you average 6.5 yards a carry and the offense looked as good as it did, I mean, Jaden Daniels, the Commanders, they haven't punted in 2 straight games. So they're on fire.
Now looking forward to that, being a fan of a certain team in the NFC East. I don't have to mention their name. When you're not watching football or sports, what are you watching?
I'm a big movie guy. So my favorite director is Quentin Tarantino. So anything like that, anything related to that. So
I was trying to figure out a way to work a Tarantino question into this. But
okay.
I think that's already, like, if I had a bell, that would be a very good sign. Like, my wife and I back in our, this would have been, I guess we were already married at that point, it, like a couple years into marriage, Pulp Fiction came. Yeah. And we saw it in one of these, you know, like these little, you know, it's an independent, it was an independent movie, basically kind of starting off. And it was in like one of these little, you know, independent theaters and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. Huh. Good sign. Tarantino. I like
Love
it.
Him.
I like it. I like where your head's going. All
right. Thank you.
Multiple choice TV shows. Breaking Bad, Lost, Game of Thrones, Better Call Saul. Do you choose any of those? All of those? None of those.
I'll choose some of them. Love Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Start to finish, I thought the show was fantastic. Lost and Game of Thrones kind of started to lose me towards the end. If I'm just being 100% honest.
I mean, that's a lot of people were like that. Yeah.
Lost was fantastic until they started to be able to like travel back in time. That lost me. No pun intended. You know, it wasn't too bad. Game of Thrones seasons 1 through 6 were fantastic. And then, you know, what happened. But if I were to go with any
that's,
of them,
that's like, a loss. That's a lost thing. Whatever happened. You're getting yeah. your shows combined or confused.
Right? Fair enough. It's all starting to blend together.
But that was around the time of the time travel where they started to say whatever happened.
So. Yeah. But yeah, Breaking Bad for me is definitely the winner.
All right. Okay. Like, you know, like I said, Game of Thrones and Lost, I'm one of those. I had stuck with it and was interested enough up into to the points where everyone else, you know, kind of considers, or not everyone, but, you know, many people consider kind of their breaking point. So
sure.
I stuck with them until the end. Payoffs at different levels. Game of Thrones was like the way they landed that plane, I think a lot worse than the way Lost ended up landing theirs myself.
Yeah.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Have you seen, you said you're a movie guy. Have you seen either the original Top Gun or the Top Gun Maverick sequel?
I've seen both.
Okay. Thoughts? Come on. This could be make or break right here in our speed dating profile.
Oh, so. Boy. Okay. Well, look, if I'm just being 100% honest, like I love the original Top Gun, but in Top Gun Maverick, with just watching F-18s fly off of an aircraft carrier to Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins to it, that was worth the price of admission for me in and of itself. You know, so if I'm being 100% honest, that was fantastic. So I'm probably gonna have to err on the side of Top Gun Maverick.
Good enough. I can take it. Like I accept that as a response. That's good. What's your favorite sports movie?
So sports movies are tough for me because I'm a sucker for making sure that the sports in it don't look too fake.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being 100% honest. So from
it's a tough beat sometimes.
When, yeah.
Like, sports guys watch sports movies and it's like, you're trying to sell us that's actually real when there's no way it's real.
Yeah. I mean, mine's going to come a little bit out of left field. So I love to golf. And one of my favorite sports movies is The Greatest Game Ever Played with Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
So that movie's really good. If we're going football, I mean, from a pure football standpoint, The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, like the actual choreography of the way the game is played is awesome. But Remember the Titans is a classic.
Okay. So, Remember the Titans. Good call. I don't think I saw the Adam Sandler what was the name of the movie again? I'm drawing a blank.
The Longest Yard.
Thank you. I don't think I saw the Adam Sandler Longest Yard, just on the grounds that, like, I'm old enough to remember the original. And the original to me with Burt Reynolds was so good. I didn't want to ruin it with the remake, basically. But so I can't comment. And I don't think that I've seen The Greatest Game either. I might have to check that out. So I'm not a big golf guy, though. So.
Fair. It's set stage in, I think it's like the 1800s, and it's like the first time an amateur won the U.S. Open. So
Sloppy Joe says, For Love of the Game is the greatest sports movie ever. I don't know if he's saying this because he knows we've ripped it to shreds on this show before. The actual baseball part of For Love of the Game is one of the best sports movies ever, which could basically be done in probably what, about 40 to 45 minutes. It's the rest of the movie where that movie falls off the rails. So Wade Garrett, Ozark, his favorite. I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot about Ozark. Another good show on Netflix, obviously, just a few years back. Final question. Have you ever sat in your lawn chair in your yard and yelled at either the clouds or at kids to stay off your yard?
Well, right now I live in an apartment, but there is, if I had the ability to, I probably would. I think.
Okay. All right. I think that puts you right on track with, you know, one of the other co-hosts of this show. Fair enough. We can just call you Vince Jr. is what we can call you. And, you know, we'll just go with that.
You got it.
Before we get into rapid fire, we came into this show planning on talking about some Notre Dame confidence, like some confidence in some different aspects of Notre Dame football. So we're going to rate each of these things on a scale of 1 to 10 in our confidence that we have in them right now after 4 games heading toward Louisville this weekend. Let's start with the Notre Dame offensive line. What's your confidence in the offensive line?
Six. I give Notre Dame a 6 just because maybe call me a victim of just like buying into the O-line U thing, but I'm somebody that really dating back, you hear about, you know, we had Zach Martin and Zach Martin was fantastic. And then Notre Dame loses Zach Martin, then enter Riley Stanley. And then you just started this pipeline of fantastic offensive linemen that have came through the school. So I don't want to grade them any higher because there's still a lot of room for improvement that the offensive line needs, but I wouldn't rate them any lower because for it being a so far a season with you lose Charles Jaggs ought to start the season, and you're starting a true freshman left tackle, and you have two backups already at center and right guard. Mm-hmm. I think they've done pretty well with what they've gone through so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing sixes of five, DK being DK with his 10 in there. I'm right around that same, like, I'm in the range you are. I'm closer to a six. I do wonder what my confidence would be if Charles Jagasaw hadn't gotten injured a week into training camp, and even if Ashton Craig and Billy Shrouth, like, how dominant potentially could that offensive line be? I think that pass protection is the biggest issue, and specifically over on that left side where Jagasaw is gone. I mean, Anthony Knapp is doing the best he can. You know, there's only, I think, so much that you can expect from an undersized true freshman at this point. He's doing a solid job, but I don't think it's near the same, like, as if Jagasaw were still out there. And they're doing a nice job with run blocking. It's the pass blocking aspect that knocks him down a couple of points, basically.
Yep, I agree. I'm right there with you. I think if the pass blocking continues to improve, I think that number starts to go up for me. But it's just hard to grade him above a six right now.
Oh, so DK clarifying a little bit. He says seven. These young guys like a fight. Stymie is at a seven. Joe, five passing, six running. I'd probably bump him up to like maybe a seven running, five, you know, and like five passing. And then my average is the six, maybe right around there. But I like the split like that. Josh says 6-7 if they improve. And there is still room for improvement. I thought they played better against Miami last week. Maybe it helps when your quarterback's running for almost 150 yards. But
yeah, fair enough. I mean, Riley Leonard definitely adds a little bit of, like, I think he's definitely improving the grade for the offensive line because he's not taking as many sacks as a mobile quarterback wouldn't, right? He's definitely helping open up the run game because he himself has taken two guys out of run fits for defenses because they have to account for him.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the questions that came up for Marcus Freeman after the game Saturday night was, with the offensive line that you've got and the fact that you've got three starters out there who wouldn't have been the starters back during training camp, do you need a dual threat quarterback to kind of counter some of that? And I think at least to some degree you do.
Yeah.
I don't think that you could have just a pure pocket guy back there, or it might look, you know, like if you had Jack Cohn back there, for example, I think it could look a lot worse just because you've got a guy who's just not going to move nearly as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what I think what has helped open up Notre Dame's run game so much. It's no mystery that Notre Dame's main goal is to get the ball into the hands of number four and number 24. And if they didn't have the dynamic runner that they did at quarterback, I think it'd be a lot more difficult to spring those guys loose.
Correct. How about pass rush? Scale of 1 to 10, your confidence in the pass rush right now.
Honestly, right now, I'm leaning more towards a 7. Boubacar Traore has shown me something. That guy is a playmaker, man. I mean, what Notre Dame has been lacking, I think, especially on the defensive line over the last couple of years, has been a dominant pass rush. Like, really, since Isaiah Foskey left, that consistency at that. Bryce Young is starting to come into his own. And unfortunately, Jordan Botello, his knee injury is unfortunate. But even he was having a really good season before he got hurt. But next man in mentality, I think Boubacar is doing great things. Josh Burnham's about to come back healthy. Bryce Young is going to start coming into his own. And now if we can just get RJ Oben starting to play there a little bit in that field, I think that number starts to bump up for me. But I'd put him somewhere around a 7.
Yeah, and that's – I'm like high 7. I'm even pushing 8. What knocks it down is without Burnham, you know, they've got some nice things from Bryce Young so far. You know, they're just not getting much from RJ Oben right now. And that's a big part of that. We saw Howard Cross get his first sack last week, and we'll talk about the interior line specifically here in a second. You're right about Botello. It's like The guy was finally coming on, and then he gets injured. The only, you know, from a team aspect, like, oh, now Boubacar Traore has taken off as well. It would be fabulous if you could kind of see both of those, because there would probably be a lot of times where you could have seen both of those guys out there together doing some different things had Botello stayed healthy. But just where they are right now, I'm a 7. And especially if Burnham does come back this week, like that's what we need to see is getting some more from that strong side as well. But I feel pretty good about it.
Yep. I'm in the same boat.
USMA 87. Is Oben even playing? That's the rumor. Let me look at his snap count here real quick, if I can find it. I know he's obviously been out there, but I want to tell you exactly what his snap count has been so far. 31 against A&M, dropped to 11 against Northern Illinois, 18 against Purdue, played 35 snaps. Most he's played all season against Miami last week.
Okay.
But again, it's like a little bit in witness protection just based on the production that unfortunately we haven't seen from him. Exactly. Exactly, USMA. I think we're on the same page. How about interior defensive line? What's your confidence in that group?
My confidence up to this point, or I mean
look, man, you can be honest. You don't have to be brutally honest if you don't want to. I know you're gonna, you can be a little diplomatic. That's okay.
I'm going to put interior defensive line at a 5. The reason why is because I think they still have the potential to get better. You have veterans at that position. Riley Mills and Howard Cross came back for a reason. Jason Onye has been playing fantastic. I think they need to do a little bit of different things schematically with Donnie Hynish, but I'm not going to grade it any higher because I think compared to the expectations that they had coming into the season, in my opinion, they've kind of fallen short of that. So I'm putting them right at a 5 because there's a lot of room for improvement, but I would say no more below because if I look at the interior defensive line as a whole, there are some good things happening specifically with Jason Onye.
And I'm trying to find Riley Mills. Okay. Riley Mills has 10 tackles through 4 games. He's got a couple of pressures, but that's it in terms of his disruptives. Howard Cross, a little bit more productive with 10 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, a couple of sacks, and no other pressures. Again, you know, like Howard Cross finally got, you know, he got one of his sacks last week. I put it at a 4, especially considering as you just exactly what you were talking about, what the expectations, when you had these guys come back, you're like, these guys are coming back to hopefully help anchor a team that's going to make a deep push into the college football playoff, be tough, be disruptive, be leaders, right, all these different things. And unfortunately, we just have not seen the production so far. And it is mystifying considering you've played, you know, 3 of your games are against Purdue and a couple of MAC teams. They, like, this is when they should have been at their most productive, and they haven't been so far. And that's why I've got, you know, my 4 might even be a little bit generous. Now, they did kind of kick it into another gear around the, you know, like mid-October last year. I don't know if maybe that's on the horizon, like if that's coming up, but we need to see it sooner than later, because like this week specifically, because it's a Louisville team that's run the football pretty well so far.
I agree. It's starting to come up to the point where I think the coaches need to start looking internally of like, we need to put the best 4 out there. And if you're not going to go and be productive, I think that's something that you're going to have to look at as a coaching staff, right? So going to be interested to see how they go moving forward. But I do think you're right. They started to really catch fire towards like that October mark of last year. So who knows? I mean, Howard Cross's coming out game last year was against Duke. So True. So which I do believe is kind of lining up with where
about this time last year. Yep.
So for me, a lot of what I want to see from them on the field is not as tangible as like looking at a stat. I just want to see that they want to be there, man. I mean, yeah. Howard Cross got a sack against Miami of Ohio and he got up and he looked like he just got done working in office 9 to 5. I need to see a little bit of excitement, like what the sophomore class is bringing. And I think that'll start to change this week.
And I think I'm most disappointed with Riley Mills, though, now. You know, like, just because, like, look at how this guy is built. And, like, we finally saw an elevation in his play last year. You know, it was a little bit like Patelho. We were waiting. We finally saw it. And then it's like, oh, man, and this guy is coming back this year. And, again, it just hasn't been there yet. And it's really mystifying, and they need that, like, now.
Yeah, they need a presence in the middle, and he can be that guy. He's 6'5", 296. I mean, you can go be that guy. Just waiting on him. Yep. I'm with you.
How about wide receivers not named Bo Collins? Your confidence?
Gosh. I'm going to sound like a broken record here. I'm also probably going to put that at a 5, to be honest. I mean, Chris Mitchell last game started to come into his own. I don't think the stat sheet quite reflected how good of a game he had. He was open on a few, and he drew a defensive pass interference on that deep post route. So I do think Chris Mitchell's starting to come into his own. I know we're all kind of waiting for Jaden Greathouse to kind of come into his own, but wide receivers not named Bo Collins, I'm putting it at a 5 right now, because wide receiver is a tough position to grade out, because part of their job is reliant on the facilitator.
Quarterback's got to get them the ball. And, you know, like that nice little, that diving kind of low catch, you know, that low throw that Riley Leonard made to Chris Mitchell, you know, to kind of, you know, piggybacking, like, he really started to show some good things, like as an overall wide receiver last week. And I think that's something that he wasn't really asked to do at Florida International, you know, like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the wide receivers are owning their piece in the blocking game too, which, okay, you know what? Actually, that's what I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to go 6, because I always, a lot of people think of wide receiver play as just pass catching and catching touchdowns. But I had a former coach who was big on wide receivers on the big play in the pass game and in the run game. So I'm going to put them at a 6, because downfield blocking for them over the course of the season has actually been pretty solid.
No, that's true. That's true. You know, if you're going to factor the blocking in there, I think that I'd still put mine at around a 5. You know, it's just, it is so hard. Like, Riley Leonard has just, him slowing down his reads and actually seeing these guys. And, you know, if he was actually more consistently distributing the ball, that would give us a more clear picture. It does feel like, though, 2 years in a row, we have hyped the heck out of this wide receiver group, and then we just haven't seen production on the field. I would say that one thing that I would like to see more of is, like, you know, they did like a, you know, like a shuttle pass to Jaden Thomas a couple of games ago, for example, and he's got a kid. Like, I would like to see more appropriate guys, you know, doing those kind of things. Like, I don't want to see Jaden Thomas, you know, end around and taking shovel passes and stuff like that. I would rather see Jaden Harrison, Jordan Faison, even Jaden Greathouse, I think, you know, doing some of the, or Chris Mitchell for that matter, you know. So it's almost a little bit of an incomplete, but at the same time, Riley Leonard has obviously shown that he has confidence in Bo Collins, and he's able to find Bo Collins. How much of that is because Bo Collins is one of the first reads in his progression, and he's not getting to the other guys sometimes? You know, that might play into it, but it's just too hard right now to give him a much higher grade than that.
No, I hear you. And it's tough because the sample size is so small.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to give a grade on, like, basically receiving core outside of Bo Collins that gets 2 targets a game per receiver. So, you know, mine's a little bit more optimistic.
I do agree with what Hayden is saying as well. I do think they are getting more open this year than last year. We've seen plenty of, especially the intermediate routes. Like, you're seeing a lot of that. And again, like, how much of that is on Riley Leonard? How much of that is on maybe the faith that he has and what's going on to his left, you know, in terms of, like, the clock is sped up maybe a little bit for him, those kind of things. That, again, they're things that you're never going to hear either Mike Denbrock or Riley Leonard or Marcus Freeman say out loud. But I have to think that some of those things factor into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Depth of the Irish secondary. What's your confidence there?
Honestly, I'm going to put it at a six, a conservative six for right now, just because losing Jaden Mickey is a blow. No matter what narrative people want to try to spin, you're losing a kid who has a lot of game experience and who is a talented football player, still a scholarship athlete at Notre Dame. But the talent that you have behind him with Carson Hobbs and the talent you have behind him with Leonard Moore is promising. The only thing that's starting to freak me out right now is Notre Dame is one injury away from having to start a true freshman at corner. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't rank it higher. If I'm ranking my confidence on a scale of 1 to 10 from a skill set level, I would put it higher than a 6. But from like a comfortability type feel, I mean, Brian and I just talked about this in the previous show. You don't want to – I love when Notre Dame plays freshman, because to me that shows that you like earned it and like you're ready to play.
Yeah.
But you don't want to put yourself in a spot where you like to be ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the fine line that they're starting to walk in right
now. Yeah. I agree. Mine is a little bit higher. I'm right around a 7. And again, it's because of in large part due to what we've already seen from Leonard Moore. And like, you know, like when we saw Benjamin Morrison as a true freshman a couple of years ago, it's like, okay, well, you know, where's this guy coming from? But I mean, then look how he ended up playing, you know, you know, Christian Gray, we saw flashes of him obviously last year, but the depth is what we're talking about. But I have confidence that the next guys in line can play fine, you know, and then if we're talking about injuries after that, then maybe I get a bit more concerned, but I'd put it at a 7 right now because I have a lot of confidence both in Mickens as well as the skill that the next two guys have.
Sure.
And then things, you know, again, like you've got Jordan Clark and you've got Rod Hurd, so sort of as, you know, emergency options as well. Are they going to be like Jordan Clark has played phenomenally, I think, so far as the nickel? Like, does that translate to the outside? Probably not as well, but I mean, as impressed as I have been with him so far and just what he's been asked to do, I've got to think that he could give him something there if needed as well. So,
yeah, I think the depth could go a little bit farther than just who's on the depth chart at corner, but I just don't think that's a spot that they want to be in. But, I mean, I think if push comes to shove, they have players that could play out of position if they need to.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, last one, your confidence in the quarterback, Riley Leonard.
7. And I'm pretty firm on that. How I judge a quarterback's progression is week over week improvement. And if there's one thing that's staying constant with Riley Leonard is his ability to make plays in the run game. And that to me is huge, right? So I look at it as now the development of him in the passing game. And we saw at the Purdue game, right? In the Purdue game, he started to hit the layups and he started to hit the short throws. Little bit of lackadaisical passing when it came to anything past 15 yards. And then you almost kind of see the difference in games with Miami of Ohio. He couldn't hit the layups and he was pretty on the money with things 15 yards or farther down the field. So you're starting to see that progression and him getting more comfortable in the pocket. So for me, I think that my confidence in Riley Leonard right now is a 7.
Mine's a 7 as well. There's obvious things that need to improve in the passing game. I think that we all acknowledge that. But this is a dual threat quarterback. And probably the biggest question, other than is he ever going to actually complete a pass downfield, you know, going into last week, was, okay, what does happen in a two-minute drill? Because we saw it against Texas A&M, not quite, you know, at the end of the game, but it was it was later in the fourth quarter when he had to lead a drive. He led him to a touchdown. They take the lead. They never, you know, then you put it in the hands of the defense, and we all know how that worked out. But what would happen when they were in a true two-minute? Well, we saw it. He went 81 yards in less than a minute at the end of the first half last week and gave them time, if not for a boneheaded penalty, to maybe even get the ball back and get some more points after that. And, you know, obviously he answered the question of the pass as well by completing the pass to Bo Collins. Now, that doesn't mean that he's a finished product, that like you can just look at that and go, okay, you know, see, he can do it. I'm not going there. It's a starting point. It's all a starting point. But the biggest thing with Leonard is because of the running ability that he has, he's going to make an opposing defense defend the entire field. And there's always, and you know, part of what I think makes him so successful in that situation is there is that element that this guy can take off at any time and get you 12 yards, get you 15 yards, whatever it happens to be. And, oh, by the way, he can also complete a couple of passes because now you start cheating up on that. He can throw it over the top. So,
yeah, I mean, he adds an aspect to the offense that the other quarterbacks in the room, frankly, just can't. And I think for Riley Leonard, some of it is going to be tailoring your expectations to what you're going to think you're going to see from him. A lot of people hear a dynamic quarterback and they think, all right, well, he's going 25 of 32 for 310 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. When you have a quarterback like Riley Leonard, I think you need to start looking at like his total yards and what he does in a game. Because to me, it's awesome if a quarterback goes 310 yards through the air, but I'm also okay if he has 310 total yards. I mean, the last I checked, that moves the ball down the field the same amount.
Right.
You know? Right. So I think that's just that's going to be tailoring expectations. I'm not saying Riley Leonard doesn't have the capability to go 25 of 32 for 310 and a couple of scores through the air, but the way he plays, he just doesn't have to. At least not yet. We haven't seen that in a game, and that could change on Saturday. Who knows? Because I do firmly believe that there will be a scenario in a game this year, whether it's Notre Dame in the playoffs or whether it's against USC or Louisville or Georgia Tech, there will come a time where it's like, hey, Riley, you're just going to have to drop back and throw.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like it was brought up yesterday. What's our confidence if Notre Dame is trailing, you know, like 21-7 or 21-10 or something like that in Leonard's ability, you know, to, you know, be able to run the offense as proficiently in that fashion? Well, the answer to that question was you still have that defense, Notre Dame's defense on the other side of the ball. And I think that that's part of why you can continue to hedge in Riley Leonard's favor when you have every confidence that the defense with a short field, just like they did a couple of times the other day against Miami, and just like they, you know, like even against Texas A&M, they held the field goals. They weren't giving up a bunch of touchdowns. Like, you have every confidence that this defense is not going to let things get out of hand while some of that stuff is kind of being processed on the offensive side.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, Notre Dame has a defense right now that's given up 3 offensive touchdowns through 4 games. So that gives you the freedom to take a little bit more risk on the offense. Now it's just hoping that they do. Confidence with Riley Leonard. I'm at a 7.
Yep, I'm with you. Michael says this building up of Louisville is some super team is crazy. Are they good? Yes. Did they beat us last year? Yes. Did Louisville have a lot of things go their way last year? Hell yes. I mean, all those things are true. One part of the formula that they have is just like last year, they brought in a veteran transfer portal quarterback. This guy's maybe a little bit more mobile than Plummer. It's it's hard for me to measure just exactly how good they are when they've taken on an FCS team, you know, a group of five team, and Georgia Tech so far. I mean, I know they're going to be good, but you're absolutely right. You know, like Georgia Tech, is, like, you know, really Austin Peay and Jacksonville State, neither one of them are probably, you know, as good as what Notre Dame has faced so far.
No.
But I don't want to start, you know, like I always hate like writing off who they face. You know, they've played two really good warmups, and they got a little bit more tested last week against Georgia Tech and still won that game relatively handily.
Yeah, I mean, I think for them it's the eye test. They have a lot of athletes on their team this year. Yeah. So they got Ja'Cory Brooks from Bama. Mm-hmm. Tyler Shuck, that's how I learned that's how you pronounce his last name, even though it's S-H-O-U-G-H. It's Tyler Shuck. He is a very experienced quarterback. He is going into his seventh year of college football. He was an ESPN top 300 recruit in 2018. But he has performed everywhere that he's gone. So I think the thing that's different with this Louisville team that you're going to see is they are a lot more athletic from a wide receiver standpoint. They're going to be able to push the ball down the field better. Running backs aren't as strong as what they were last year. And defensively, they're just very long and athletic. So I'm with you, Sean. It's so tough to tailor your expectations to what a team is going to look like when they've played that kind of schedule. And by no means am I comparing Louisville to Ohio State, but it's the same thing with Ohio State, right? They've played Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall.
Yeah.
And so everybody's like, oh, they're unbeatable. It's like, well, I mean, they're unbeatable for those teams.
Well, and I mean, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If you're Louisville, you've played a schedule that Louisville should be playing.
100%.
Right? Like there's no reason that they need to go out and schedule, you know, a USC or an LSU or anyone from the SEC, right, for that matter, unless it's Vanderbilt or somebody like that. There's just 100%. There's no reason. They've done what they needed to do. They've got a good amount of confidence, and they'll come into Notre Dame Stadium as a confident team. DK, valid point. I get what you're saying. You said a host yesterday got mad as if Notre Dame couldn't give up a 21-7 lead, but a better team with a muff punt and a fumble can make you pay. Yeah, I mean, mistakes are always part of this, right? And, you know, like if we look at how last year's Notre Dame-Louisville game played out, just as an example, it was a 7-7 game at halftime. It took Notre Dame, like Notre Dame had to work just to get their own 7 points in the first half. But what was the biggest factor in that game to me wasn't necessarily what, you know, Louisville did just from a purely physical standpoint. They forced 5 Notre Dame turnovers. That's how Louisville ended up pulling away by the time the fourth quarter rolled around. You turn the ball over 5 times, you don't deserve to win any game.
Oh yeah,
and that can obviously, you know, that's a different level, a different layer, no matter what quarterback you're talking about, you know, to try to overcome or you know, for a defense to have to overcome that if your offense is committing that many turnovers.
Yeah, when you lose the turnover battle, you lose the time of possession battle, and you lose the total yards battle, you're not winning many of those football games, barring some sort of miracle. And that's just what it came down to. I mean, Notre Dame as a team last year rushed for 44 yards total against Louisville. So just not going to win many of those games.
Yep. Nope. USMA, you're right about Vandy this year. I was just throwing them out. You know, like that would be the team that, like, if you're Louisville and you're going to schedule, they obviously schedule Kentucky as a rivalry game. But if, you know, if you're going to schedule another SEC team, Vandy would be the team that you'd be eyeing as opposed to anyone else probably in the SEC. John is asking where Jesse is, and I think Michael might have answered it earlier. Jesse, this is the first week of his new day job, and he's got, like, all kinds of stuff going on there, so he's in transition. So you get Trevor Trowbridge sitting in. So Jesse's going to be out for at least a little while, and appreciate Trevor sitting in today. And going back to when Len Clark was here, Irish 101 Game Day says, I substitute taught in a classroom that was portrayed in Len's book. The book was written at night and things like that. Oh, this is Len. Okay. appreciate Sean. This is actually Lent. This is Lent. This is not someone talking about the book. Okay, I misunderstood that at first. I didn't read it all the way through. So glad to have Len on once again. And Trevor's already bought the book, and it sounds like the book is selling very well. Good stuff.